The Chai FM Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
David Harris, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. A happy Monday morning to you, Benji.
Thank you. All Monday mornings should be happy and interesting. And how are things going at the Clarion Project?
Busy as ever, as you alluded to before the jingle. This morning, of course, we woke up to news of what could, and certainly at this stage, bears all the signs of being a terror attack in Toronto, in Canada.
Yeah, we were reporting on that in the news, but no one quite knows what's going on. It's just a shooting at this stage.
Yeah, and we at Clarion are very careful not to call something a terror attack until it's confirmed by authorities. However, if you look at what actually happened, as far as eyewitness accounts are concerned, again, it does bear the hallmarks of a terror attack. We're not talking about somebody who just shot at one particular target. So you're not talking, initially there was talk of an attack on a restaurant, but it's not just the restaurant that was shot at. So you can't say that it's probably a disgruntled worker at the restaurant. Our assessment at the moment is that the police will either turn around and say, hey, this was just some crazy who managed to get hold of a gun, or this will be a terror attack aimed indiscriminately at Torontonians.
Yeah, certainly we will have to keep a very close eye on that. But I want to talk to you about something which perhaps is a bit of an innovation coming out of France at the moment, where they're using people from immigrant countries,
Morocco.
Morocco, that's the case, yes, as adjuncts to the police force to help police immigrant communities. What's going on with this?
So there's a deal done back in June between the interior ministries of France and of Morocco because of problems, particularly with migrants from Morocco in certain neighborhoods in Paris. It was agreed to dispatch a group of police officers from Morocco to walk the streets of Paris looking for these problem people. In this case, we're talking about teenagers aged 15 to 17, and when necessary, to deport them from France just because of their inability to behave according to Western norms. And we can also read into that. It doesn't just mean, misbehaving in the streets, but also posing a terror risk. It's the first time that I know of that this has been publicly done. We know of cooperation between police forces, but to actually have police officers patrolling your streets when they come from another country, to my mind, as far as I know, this is certainly something original. And of course, it's particularly significant when you're talking about a Western capital and you've got people coming from a Muslim majority country to do that work.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you would think that since it's not as if France lacks its own Moroccans, that they couldn't just pick them up and train them internally. Having to schlep them all the way out from Morocco does seem a little bit far-fetched, literally.
Yeah, I hear that. I agree. I think it's difficult. We conducted an initial straw poll of our own Clarion subscribers, and a majority of them certainly said, why on earth do you need people coming from elsewhere to do so? That there is also an argument, and one of the questions that we posed to our listeners was, the possibility of bringing in, say, police officers from Morocco to France, but rather than deploying them on the streets, have them train local officers so they get a bit more of an idea of how to deal with people from Morocco. And as you rightly said, of course, there are lots of Moroccan migrants, immigrants living in Paris and in France, and you would imagine that there would be a significant portion of police officers in France who would be from North Africa. However, the decision was taken between the two. I think the feeling is that these officers were particularly trained, have a greater understanding in where these kids are from, may even be from the same communities that these kids are from, are able to talk to them in their own language. And I don't just mean in terms of Moroccan Arabic, but much more getting the street vibe and understanding where they're coming from and trying to approach them in that way. And as far as I know, we're not talking here about undercover work. We're talking about uniformed police officers. So it certainly is interesting. It's certainly controversial. But you know what? If you're France and you have been beset by wave after wave of terror attacks, taking hundreds of lives and wounding many, many more, you're going to try pretty much anything to sort the problems out.
You also kind of wonder, though, about the sort of legalities involved from a perspective of, you know, policemen in different countries have to know what are the laws in their country for stop and search, or you know, can you shoot someone depending on what they're doing, or what actually accounts for theft, or whatever. You know, there's a completely different legal system, different police culture. You kind of wonder how the French managed to get around that.
Absolutely. Very, very good point. And if one considers, as I said, that the agreement was only signed in June, unless people were working on this behind the scenes ahead of that, and I've got no reason to believe one way or t'other, but it's certainly within a month of that agreement being signed, you would imagine that they wouldn't have been fully trained, that they wouldn't know all of the laws that apply to police officers operating in France. Therefore, I would assume on surface level that their jurisdiction is very restricted, and what they can actually do on the streets is going to be particularly limited. That having been said, the French have proven over the years that they are happy to, shall we say, be somewhat more aggressive as a police force when occasion arises than one would necessarily think they would be, given what the law says in France. You know, they can have a degree of abandon in their actions. And on the one hand, you know, we should say, well, always that problematic. On the other hand, as I said before, the French really are suffering from terrorism, and sometimes you have to do whatever it possibly you can to take the terror off the streets. So again, I don't have the inside story on this. I'm just guessing. But yeah, I think you're bringing up a very good point, and one imagines the Moroccans will not be 1,000% au fait with laws that that apply to police officers in France.
Well, you know, Zanati, we have in South Africa a lot of Cuban doctors, right?
Yeah.
Who come and work, and we never really applied that to the police force. So maybe, I mean, maybe we could import our own police auxiliaries to South Africa to help with the crime situation. Question is, which country would you choose? I mean, do you want Zimbabwean police people? Can we import some Brits? I mean, can you imagine a British police officer having to run down the street without a weapon in South Africa? I mean, I think it would be absolutely horrifying. You know, it could be a whole new reality TV thing. I think here, David. You know, police officer in a day in a different country. You know, what is it like to be an Australian patrolling in Kazakhstan, and what is it like to be a Ghanaian in Guyana? You know.
I think it's a great idea. With regard, one thing I should just add, I would imagine that the role that the Moroccans will have, they won't be gun-toting. I imagine they'll be operating much more as community police officers, talking to people, trying to understand what is happening in the particular community and forwarding that information on to French police with a recommendation to deport, to arrest, or not. I imagine that's more of where they're coming from. But yeah, I think you bring up a fascinating point. And if you think about, and I don't want to trivialize the issue, but say a Jackie Chan film where he comes in from, you know, Hong Kong and is roving the streets of either Europe or America, using his own form of justice, which doesn't necessarily line up with local policies. I think you've got a great point. Now, remember, there is a lot of cooperation between police forces around the world. Obviously, transfer of information. You've also got Interpol, Europol, etc. But you also have police officers traveling around the world. The Israeli police, for example, do it on a regular basis, where they are training, not necessarily, you know, getting into the laws of an individual country, but explaining what procedures are adopted in their own country and suggesting best practices to other countries. And that's obviously particularly done in the developing world, where they're learning and also, of course, having to deal with on a very real level on a day-to-day basis with terrorism. And so they're getting advice from more developed countries, and also a country, say, like Israel, is the obvious case where they've had to deal with terrorism since the creation of the state. So you've had 70 years of experience that you can pass on to a Nigerian or a Somalian police force.
Yeah, absolutely. Super interesting. David Harris, thank you so much for talking to us. David Harris, he is there from the Clarion Project, coming to us on Mondays talking about the wife swap of police forces. That's basically what it's all about. Thank you so much, Dave. We will chat to you on Monday. Now, let's
looking
listen,
forward.
Thank you so much. And we're listening, looking forward there and listening to some music now.